Hey guys, welcome back. CGM Lounge, this is season 5. As you guys may have guessed already, we have main man, Michael Pay. What's going on, Mike?
How's it going, Don?
Everything's good, brother. Everything's good. How was Thanksgiving?
It was good, man. It's good. Some time with the family, so time to unwind. So hopefully you had a good one as well.
Yeah, it was good. Now you promised me you was going to throw, you promised me you was gonna throw the something on the what was you gonna make again for Thanksgiving?
Oh yeah, So my contribution was veggie fried rice.
Veggie fried rice.
Had some peas. Yeah, scallions, and obviously the fried rice, a little bit of oil of it, and a little bit of soy. And definitely mastering it right now. So
it
came out pretty good.
It's still a work in progress, or we can sell it. We can sell it yet?
No, I think I'm pretty good right now. I think I'm pretty good right now.
My soon to be world famous. It's just famous now. It's like world famous. Shout out to my famous smoky mashed potatoes. So
really?
I put a little secret sauce in there as the potatoes are boiling. And then somebody gave me a little bit of another ingredient, sour cream, after you put the milk in and you let, kind of it all come together and coalesce.
I think, it's like people request it, so... I don't think I can sell it yet. I still got to work on the garnish. I got to figure out how to garnish it, but the taste is there. So we close.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just gotta tweak it and then proprietary.
That's it. And then we can go to market. Yeah. Everything is about going to market for me. So if we can take it to market, we know we got a good product.
Exactly. I like that.
Yeah. So guys, welcome back. You know that we try to bring you the heat every time. And today is going to be a great episode. So we have, as you guys remember, we started with like business ideas. Then we went to business plan. Then we went to forming your business. Then we went to like different licenses you may need. And then, who can assist with that. And now we're getting into financing. So we get this question a lot. And like, how does one fund a startup? Mike, can you take the proverbial baton right now and walk us through like how one would fund a startup once they got it licensed, once they got the LLC or the corp, once they, established their business plan? How am I going to fund this thing?
Yeah, sure. So the topic today, one of the topics is understand your startup financing options.
Yeah.
So most businesses need a little capital to get started. In general, business loans are not available to businesses that have not been operating for less than 6 months. And most online lenders prefer at least a year in business. So, try to get at least a year under the belt or in your business. Before you think about financing options, startups should look at other financing options. Many businesses rely on their own savings to get started. You can look into crowdfunding, personal loans, business grants, and more. And next, we wanted to explain how business loans work. So in general, there's different types of business loans, and they follow the same basic steps. I want to give you, an idea of the steps. So you submit an application along with the relevant financial documents. A financial institution agrees to lend you a certain amount at a specific cost, including interest and fees. In exchange, you provide collateral or a personal guarantee to pay the loan back on time. You receive the funds in a lump sum or as a line of credit. Then you pay back what you borrow on a prearranged payment schedule. If you don't repay the loan on time, a lender may consider your loan to be in default and can seize your collateral or other assets. So again, just wanted to reiterate the fact that, you know, you have to negotiate a amount and then obviously a certain time to pay that amount back with interest and fees. And obviously, if it's in default, that's where the bank or lending facility can seize your collateral or other assets. And then we wanted to go into how business term loans work. So when you take out a business term loan, you receive a lump sum of cash and then you have to pay it back over time. If you've taken out a student loan or a mortgage, business term loans work similarly. So the steps is the following. Your business applies for a term loan. The lender agrees to lend you a certain amount and sets an interest rate. Next, you receive the funds you applied for in one lump sum. Then you repay the lender in predetermined amounts on a schedule. And lastly, once the loan is repaid, you have to apply for another loan if you need more funding. So in general, business term loans best suits companies planning for significant growth. Some are even designed for specific types of development, like equipment financing or commercial real estate loans. And next up, we have how business lines of credit work. So business lines of credit work differently from term loans. Instead of receiving the entire loan at once, you can withdraw the funds you need at your discretion. Similar to a credit card, your payments are based on what you've withdrawn. Business lines of credit follow these steps. Your business applies for a line of credit. Next, the lender agrees that you can withdraw funds up to a specific limit and sets the interest rate. Then you can withdraw on your line of credit as needed. You repay what you borrow on a fixed schedule with interest. And lastly, once you've repaid what you borrowed, you can withdraw again. The limit applies to how much you can borrow at one time, not how much you can borrow over the life of the line of credit. So again, lines of credit can help fund a business expansion, but they're also useful for business owners with uneven cash flow who occasionally need credit. In addition, some business owners like to have lines of credit in an emergency. So going back to past episodes where we're focused on cash flow. So again, we look at that as a kind of the lifeblood of the company, right? So, you know, it doesn't really matter how much you're making in terms of revenue, you know, whether it's 100K a year or, you know, 10 million a year, right? You need to have consistent cash flow to operate your business on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-by-month business. Otherwise, you won't be able to survive. Obviously, the tumultuous venture of owning a business. So I wanted to reiterate that.
Yeah, and it's critically important to kind of take a step back and go over some of the points that were mentioned. So people come to Common Ground all the time. Like we have, again, if you guys are listening, you probably know us, used us in the past. If not, you know, you found us somehow because you found the podcast. So CGM, we make businesses. We've been doing it since 2012. And it's 2013 and we just turned 12 ourselves as a company, but we've been doing this for 11 years as of November 25th this year. And so when you look at the amount of businesses we've opened, you know, well over 10,000 at this point, they all kind of ask, like, how do I get access to funding? So the one thing that we need to understand is funding is such a broad-based term that if you're talking to somebody and they're trying to convince you that they're in finance and they say, hey, I can get you funding, I get you funded, you need to understand what are they actually saying? Because you can be funded via an angel investor. You can be funded via venture capital
team. You can be funded from your own personal assets. You can be funded via raised from family. You can be funded, like Mike was just talking about, from a financial institution that's going to give you what we call financing. So when you're looking for funding, you need to understand what your goals are. Are you willing to give up one of these two things? Are you willing to give up equity? Or are you willing to get yourself into like a finance situation where you're paying somebody or something back with an interest rate, right, over a term? So a term means a duration. So is it 12 months, is it 24 months? Is it 60 months, which is 5 years? And how much money on top is that person or entity want back? So when we talk, when somebody says funded, I'm going to fund you, you're going to get funding, you need to understand what strings come with that, because funding is just jargon. It's like talking about the Atlantic Ocean. It's a big term, so broad, that a lot of inexperienced entrepreneurs just think, hey, I'm getting this money. Like we know this because we hear it on the phone all the time. Oh yeah, this bank is going to give me 100K. But for what and for why? And do you understand what goes along with that? Do you understand the ramifications and repercussions that you will face if you can't pay back the 100K? Or do you want it from somebody like Mike Pay, who's a private lender, you know, more on the hard money side, so to speak, for lack of a better term, and you're dealing with that person and they say, okay, cool, yeah, I'll give it to you, but it's at a much higher interest rate. And I'm going to need collateral, like a building or things like that to ensure my contribution to you. Or is it an investor who says, hey, I'll give it to you, but I want 50% of the company. That's going to be my stake. That's going to be the stake that I can sink my teeth into. So at a very fundamental elementary level, the term funding is so broad that you really have to ask that person, like we said before, like how do you vet people? Ask a second question. don't just nod your head and say, yeah. Ask the next question. Okay, cool. What kind of funding can you get me? I can get you lines of credit. Well, where can you get me lines of credit from? Oh, from banks. Which banks? These banks. So what are their terms for the line of credit? What do I have to provide? Or how do I qualify? Do I need a 790? Do I need a 690? Do I need a 700? Do I need three months of pay stubs? So before we go to get money, we have to understand what type of money we're getting and what comes with getting this money. And we see it so many times that people don't even care about running their business. They open up an LLC just because somebody says they can get funded. Well, why would somebody give you some money for a company that you're not even generating revenue in? As Mike opened up with, a traditional bank is going to want to see gross receipts somewhere, either from you personal income or from the businesses actually running a service, having bank statements that show revenue coming in. So what we want you guys to really understand at a fundamental elementary level, funding is code word for, let's say, masquerade, camouflage, right? Tell me what kind of funding. So if I go to Mike, I know I'm going to Mike and I'm either asking Mike for capital as an investor or capital as a financer. And Mike's going to tell me, okay, cool, we're going to give you these terms, these rates, and I need this thing back from you. I need this information from you. Secondly, after you understand what you're trying to get, understand why you would use it and how you would use it. So like Mike pointed out, you have term loans. So anytime somebody talks about finance, they're going to use the word vehicle. So if you go to a bank, you're going to hear what type of finance vehicle we're going to give you. So they could give you a term loan, which is, like Mike said, a mortgage, student loan over X amount of years with a set interest rate and a set payment schedule for those months that include the principal and interest, right? or you can get a line of credit. Lines of credit have variable interest rates, so those interest rates can fluctuate with the market. Or you could get a credit card that's similar to a line of credit, but one of the main differences is it's easier to liquidate cash off of a line of credit than it is a credit card. So a credit card is the plastic that you're going to use and go to the stores. A line of credit is just going to be sitting there, and you can transfer the cash out of the credit line into your account. You use that cash as if it was, like Mike mentioned, cash flow. So running your business and understanding how you can move from operating capital, keep cash on hand, using lines of credit or using credit cards is a lot different than saying I need a term loan to purchase a large building, or I need a large term loan to offset my salaries, right? Because I'd rather pay the bank $3,000 a month on this, you know, $200,000 loan that they gave me, and I use that to pay my rent at the two facilities that I have, because the rent is actually $4,500. So I'm saving $1,500 a month for the next couple of months, and I can move that $1,500 over to cash, save it up more aggressively, and then slow down my burn rate. So there's all types of tactics, but we got to understand why we're doing it and what we're doing. And Mike did a great job of running through like the basics of how we go from one idea of, okay, I need capital, to what type of capital and from whom and why. Mike, you're in the game. You've been doing it. You and I are working on a couple of deals now. We don't necessarily have to get into specifics, but what do you look for as a private lender? Like, what are some telltale signs for you that, hey, this is somebody I could do business with, or this is somebody that I may need to vet a little bit more? Like, what are you looking for in these negotiations?
Sure, that's a great question. So I think when we first initially meet any type of business owner or individual or group that's looking for funding or lending options is, you know, what kind of business are they in, right? What kind of industry are they in? You know, is it a sustainable industry? Do we know much about it, right? Because, again, going back to, you know, the past podcast that we had, you got to do your own research, right? So if it's a particular space that you are not familiar with, do your own research, right? Are you going to be comfortable with that space, right? Again, for an example, a Common Ground, right? They focus on helping startups with, you know, the process, right? Kind of like the starter kit for startups, right? So again, that's such a great idea because, as Don mentioned, a lot of people talk about general topics, right? Just running a business, but not many individuals or groups tell you what's the process of doing that, right? What types of forms do you have to fill out? Rules and regulations you have to abide by, you know, depending on the state that you're in or the area that you're in, you know. So when we talk about the topics of a particular business, we want to have an idea, you know, what kind of business they're in. And in addition to that, we want to look at the track record, right? Also, we want to have at least, you know, a year or more in terms of track record. And the purpose of that is obviously to look at the financials, but also to look at projections and seeing if there's growth, right? This, within that year, were they growing from month to month? You know, how were they on cash flow, right? The three important financial statements, balance sheet, income statement, and statement of cash flows is important that we look at. And again, just having conversations, as Don mentioned, right? It's not done through one conversation or two conversations. You know, it might have to be multiple conversations with other partners or members of the team just to get an idea how they run their business, you know, the space that they're in, you know, is there future plans, right? Do they detail how they're going to grow and maybe expansion? Are they going to grow in a different area, in a different state? And are there specifics on that? So again, we look at obviously the track record. We look at the business itself. Are we familiar with that space? The credit history, you know, the score that they have, FICO scores. And we look at the relationship, right? Have we done, you know, business with them before? Is it a new, you know, relationship? And how do we cultivate that and obviously do business in the future as well? So a lot of factors go into play when we're focused on, you know, providing lending to individuals or groups. And going back to Dom's point about learning about the mechanics of why you're getting the loan and, you know, how you're going to utilize it is important. And, you know, a simple thing comes to mind. You know, you guys can shop around, right? Just like if you're looking for a car, you wouldn't just go to one dealership. You'll shop around, right? And, you know, that's a segue into, you know, different types of startup business loans. So the options are SBA micro loan that's online that you can look at, Wells Fargo Small Business Advantage, Fundbox line of credit, Headway Capital, which also provides a line of credit. So again, do your own research and take some of these suggestions that we provided or recommendations. And again, shop around, see what's relevant to you, you know, depending on the dollar amount that you're trying to borrow and your minimum credit score, you can qualify for some of these.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, just a little bit more into Mike and I's relationship. So Mike and I met 2 years ago, a year ago, right before I was going to purchase a property in New Jersey for a commercial use. And we were introduced by a mutual acquaintance. And we spoke a little bit from July to August-ish in 2022. And then, you know, the conversations that were running through the mutual party kind of faded. But the thing that I'm bringing up is in that time, we were looking to acquire this space. So we were looking at the asset and we were going to buy it, and we wanted to buy it without getting a loan from a traditional lender because the client's services are in a highly regulated industry, which is cannabis. So FDIC regulations, a lot of banks can't fund cannabis operations. So it was very important to get the asset free and clear so you can leverage the asset to get lending from the bank to do the renovations through a separate entity that we had formed. So the company that was going to be actually selling the cannabis wasn't the company that was buying the property. We formed a whole other entity to buy the property, which owned also the cannabis LLC. And when we got the property, we bought it cash for $175, December 15th, 2022. It's almost a year ago. And that negotiation is a whole other podcast. So we'll talk about real estate negotiations soon. But the point I'm getting at is the conversations between Mike and our team didn't really go anywhere in the beginning because we didn't have any collateral. We didn't have an asset that Mike could say, okay, cool. If anything goes awry, at least I have this. So, you know, in July of 2022, we didn't have the asset. We were still in negotiations. I don't even think we identified the asset when we first met you July 3rd or 4th. I think it was the 3rd we met. But long story short, 5 months later, we bought the asset. And then we were able to shop the asset around to banks to go get financing. So we got financing from a bank in Jersey. Let's see, maybe like 8 or 9 months later. So it took us 8 or 9 months to find a banking partner that was willing to work with our client and the asset that he held or the company held. And that asset appraised, we bought for $175, that asset appraised at like about $215, I believe. So it appraised a little bit more than what we bought it for, which is good. We had equity in the asset. And no, it appraised for more than that. It was, I think we were like, I think we had about 90K in equity. So I think it was like 265. And then when we went to the bank, the first bank we went to, they did an appraisal. That appraisal came back with an after repair value ARV of 765, somewhere between 765 and 785. But the first bank didn't want to close on the deal, so we went to another bank, and we were able to get them to close on the deal. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways, because we wouldn't have been able to use the first bank anyway because of the state's regulations on early prepayment terms. So we'll talk about that on another episode too. So not only getting a term loan, but do you get penalized for paying early? That's how banks make money. Banks make money because they want you to stay in that entire 60 months. That's where the interest comes into play. So if you paid it off early, what you're doing is you're expediting the amortization process. And a lot of banks don't like that. They want you to use the whole schedule, not pay early, right? So long story short, you can't have prepayment penalties while applying to be a cannabis dispensary or a cannabis company in New Jersey. So we had to go find a different bank anyway, which we had already been in motion with. So we got the new bank. They accepted the other bank's appraisal of somewhere between 765 and 785 on the ARV. And then we had the asset free and clear. Assets free and clear. They were happy with that. So we got in a deal with them to do the renovations for $415,000 with another $100K line of credit on top after the renovations were complete for operating capital. But you guys got to see, there wasn't, this is all pre-revenue. We're not making any money, but we have an asset that they can use. And me and my partner both have really good credit scores. So we were able to offset our client's poor credit score with collateral, with good credit scores, with proof of income, and to secure the term loan, which was the $415K after closing cost. And that's over, I gotta look at the term sheet again, but I believe 10 months. I mean, sorry, not 10 months, 10 years. And we have we got another $100K on top of that. So now we can renovate the space, right, with no pre-existing revenue, just great credit scores, proof of income, and an asset that has the potential to be have an after repair value of, you know, 6x what we bought it for. Now we're almost done with the construction, and we're talking to Mike about having operating capital to help fund employees, other asset purchase, things like that. But now the conversation is a lot different because there's an actual asset that Mike can see. There's things that are tangible. So when people talk about, no doc loans, and I can get you 50K on credit cards, like, what exactly are you going to do with those things, guys? What are you going to do with a $50,000 credit card besides getting more debt? If you don't have the credit score to actually do a doc loan, what are you going to do with a $50,000 credit card when you haven't had the mental capacity, maturity, or wherewithal to manage your own personal finances prior to? If you have bad credit, that's your report card. That's the way the bank or the lender can see, like, how responsible is this person with their money, with money to other debtors? If Mike said, hey, I'll lend you 100K, but I need to go talk to six other people you borrow money from, and the other six people said, I never got my money back, is Mike going to lend me the 100K? Probably not. That's what lenders are looking for, guys. So if your credit score isn't good enough, or you're not proud of it enough to be able to go and get you put it on docs and get loans or lines of credit, what exactly would you do with 50K on a credit card in a business that you're not actually operating? So we need to get out of the mentality of saying, hey, I want to get funding just to get funding, and understand what is actually happening. What do you need to run a successful business? I really feel strongly about this topic, because we get a lot of calls. I'm probably on the phone 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, with people that are like, yeah, I'm just trying to get funding. Or what are you going to do with it? I don't know. I just want funding. That's not how business works. And that's not how lenders work. And that's why you're starting to see tighter reins on lending practices, tighter reins on compliance, tighter reins on doc verification, because all this bad behavior over the last 2 or 3 years is causing a ripple effect with lenders to say, we're not going to give you a credit card. We're not going to give you a line of credit if you're a business less than 2 years, if you don't have tax returns. We're not going to do these things anymore, because so many people have tried to abuse the system over since 2020 after the pandemic, that it's become punitive at this point. So one thing I want to leave with you guys is, identify how you're going to make money in your business first. Start the business, begin to make money, begin to sell something, begin going through those practices, and then you'll know what you need on the lending side or the financing side. We talked about it in the first episode. What's a good business to start? Most of those businesses to start were home-based businesses that didn't require a lot of upstart capital. Didn't require a lot of funding for you to get off the ground. That's why they were the top 10 businesses to start. You know, not making a car dealership, but being a consultant or doing social media. Those things are good to start because it costs you very little money to start those things. Run them, get some revenue. Then you can go and say, okay, cool, let me go get a $50,000 credit card so I can go buy more equipment, or I can go do this, or I could do that, do that. The last thing I want to leave you with, guys, is you have two assets innately, right? So innately means naturally. You have two assets innately. No, number one asset that you have is time. You got time. Another innate asset that you have is, we talked about a little bit before, your credit score, right? So it costs you nothing to have a good credit score. Just behavior over time. And I had to make that change for myself. In 2018, I had to hold myself accountable and say, I am a liability to my own company because my credit score isn't good enough. I needed my partner to sign on for a car for us to get this vehicle in 2018 because my credit score was low and our interest rate would have been 7% with my credit score. It was 3.5% with my partner's. That's when I had to look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm a liability. I have to take the responsibility of making my credit score a lot better so that I'm not the one holding our company back. That was 5 years ago. Now I got a 760 credit score, and we just talked about it. I was able to secure $500,000 in financing for a project that we're working on because of that. So time and credit score are assets that you have innate to you if you choose to accept it. And then on top of those things, you have cash and capital, knowledge that you can acquire, skill sets that you can throw in. But at the end of the day, how do you leverage your time and how do you leverage your credit score when you're starting your business? So what that means, what that should tell you is, when you go to get partners, how much time do they have to devote to the project? And how good is their credit score? These are the questions that people don't ask people when they start businesses. Let me see your credit score. Since you want to be in business with me, let me see it. Do you have enough time to really dig down deep and invest in this thing that we're doing? Money aside, anybody can give you a couple grand. Do they have the time to help you build this thing? Do they have a good credit score? Are they responsible with money? Do they have knowledge of the space? Do they have general knowledge about how business works? So on this episode, I want you guys to focus on two things. your personal credit situation, and then why or what would you be doing with financing or funding coming into the business? All right, those are the two main questions that you need to ask yourself when you're going into these situations. And there's a bunch of tools. So I wanna talk about the tools on the next episode, because I think they deserve their own episode. We were gonna do both on today, but I think we should talk about Upstart and all these other tools on a separate episode, because we can really dive deep. Now, I own stock in Upstart ever since it became an IPO back in 2020. It was the end of 2020, December 2020, going into 2021, Upstart went public. So I wanna talk a lot about that on the next episode. Is that cool, Mike?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Any parting shots? I mean, we this is a broad topic. I know we could probably spend 10 episodes on this particular chapter, but any parting shots for the people?
I think, again, you were very comprehensive in just, you know, sharing your ideas about your own projects. And I think a lot goes back to knowing the basics, right? What business are you in? You know, what space are you in? Why are you getting funding? You know, what's the purpose, right? You have to have the defined set of ideas on how you're going to utilize, you know, the funding, right? Is it for expansion? Is it for operating costs? Is it to grow your different sector, right? So there has to be defined reasons why you're getting funding and how you're going to utilize it. And then obviously trying to secure it with the lowest interest rate. And that goes hand in hand with your credit score, right? Your payment history or your financial report card, as you mentioned, right? So those are key things you want to focus on. And obviously we mentioned that there's other avenues to acquire funding, as you mentioned, you know, through the banks, and we both mentioned, but there's other options online called, you know, crowdfunding, you know, for small business owners to benefit. Crowdfunding, you fund your own business idea and get the word out through your product or services. And think of crowdfunding like networking on steroids, right? Instead of attending events with limited number of people to drum up support for your business, you reach to a broader group of potential investors. This often starts within your social sphere as you share your request with your, you know, family and friends via social networks. It's more of a grant than a loan, so because you don't have to pay back or worry about the interest rates. And there's other startup business grants that you can look into. So, you know, we're just giving you other options if you don't have, you know, personal savings, you know, through lending options. But again, you have to have knowledge in your space, reasons why you're looking for a loan or a particular amount of money that you're going to utilize. And again, having a good credit score lowers the interest rates on the terms. So those are things you want to keep in mind.
That's the key. That's the key. Like, you can walk into a place with a 690 and have 100K in the bank, and that bank would still deny you. But if you walked into that bank with a 770, 780 with 25K, they're way more likely to give you a loan, give you the terms that you want. And the difference between a 6% interest rate and a 3% interest rate over the course of 60 months, 36 months, 48 months, or the difference between a credit card that has 8% versus 15% on the interest rate is crazy over time. And you only get those considerations on your report card. And your report card is that credit score. And that credit score, like Mike said, gives you the leverage to negotiate interest rates and get the best deal possible, because the bank at the end of the day says, we trust that you will pay us back. This is a good deal for us. So guys, we'll be back in a couple of days to do the follow-up to this, which is like, what are the options out there in the market. Really happy to have you guys back after the holiday. It's December. It's already the end of the year. Time is going by so fast. We're going to talk about the options on the next episode of CGM Lounge. And before we part, if you have trouble understanding finance, understanding your financial position, please go to www.balancesheetclub.com. That's BalanceSheetClub.com. There's two options on there. There's the group option that has myself, Mike, our bookkeeper, Liz, bankers that we work with, working with you guys for 16 weeks on how to read financial statements, how to build your own statements, how to build a budget sheet and follow it to pay yourself money that you already have, that you were already making. You don't have to make any new money. There's money that you're already making that you don't know you make because you're spending it because you haven't created fixed costs in your life, for example. So if you need help with that or understanding credit or understanding investments, go to balancesheetclub.com, click the gold part, the gold package, and use this promo code VIP for 50% off. VIP for 50% off for that 16-week session with our financial team. If you want one-on-one sessions, go to the same place, balancesheetclub.com. Go to the platinum option, which is a little bit cheaper, and you get your one-on-one session and use the same promo code VIP and you'll get 50% off. So this is CGM Lounge. This was the finance episode for season 5. We're going to jump into tools and what are the options for financing on the next episode. But please check out balancesheetclub.com if you guys need help figuring out how your financial situation looks. Mike, really appreciate you, brother, jumping on a Saturday. And we'll see you guys next time.
All right. Appreciate it, Don. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.